concerning fatherhood. Now, I may be odd, but I've had at least 5 fathers. I have a dad that birthed me into this world. And I lived with him for brief seasons of time. There was another man that came along that became the head of our home. And from second grade for me into my high school years, that would be Phil Mercurio. And then, when I was 22 years old, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there was a man given to me by God. The Bible says he gives us pastors. And that man fulfilled a fatherhood role in my life, probably more so than the rest. And for many years. And then I would have to admit, there was another man, I believe, that was sent from God that the Lord used to do some fathering spiritually in me, and that was Chester Wright. That's 4, right? And then there is my greatest father of all, who revealed himself to me in the man Christ Jesus and showed me that no others would ever measure up. So stop comparing. So let them loose. Quit holding them captive to your idealism on what a father should or should not be, because in the natural, they'll never live up to what I can be to you. And that is my heavenly Father. Praise. You see how dysfunctional we are? And so in that vein of thought, everyone here has a father or two. Aren't you thankful for that? I quoted at the very beginning in Exodus 20 and 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's God's idea that we have a respect, a regard, and to honor mothers and fathers naturally. I am drawn to a few scenarios in the scripture that I would like to bring to your attention. In Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. Well, if what I have is verse 5 and what you have is verse 5, then I've got the wrong place. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Okay, and I'll read to you. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him. Now, these are strong words. These are very strong feelings. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now that's an upset father. That's a mad dad. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God speaking to Noah said, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Now, just for a minute, let's take a look at the son's perspective. Whew. I knew my dad was different. Wow. I'm sure glad he's my dad. What about the daughter-in-law's perspective? Wow. I'm really glad I married into this family. Now I know where my husband gets it from. Mad dad, he's getting ready to destroy all flesh. But one dad found grace in the eyes of God. Wouldn't you be thanking God that he was your dad? Glad you married into the house? What about Noah's wife's perspective? You're a good man, honey. You're doing the right thing. God will bless you for it. The children will respect you for it in the end. It's all about perspective, isn't it? Sometimes we don't gain the right perspective. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it's described this way. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. A man, a father, moved against all odds, obeyed the voice of the Lord, did what others, of course, would not and could not do. Now, I don't know, maybe your perspective of your dad, he just run of the mill. He's really not a standout. You know, I can't imagine that, being a son, being the child, and having been reared and grow up with a father, that there wouldn't be some highlights in our life that we thought the very same things. Man, I'm glad he's my dad. Because there's things that are given. There's things that are passed on that don't originate with us. Now, I know sometimes we address and point at all things spiritual, and we let all the natural stuff just kind of lay to the side. But it's God that created the natural. There's times when you maybe have been given an opportunity and you have seen a child in a situation that you saw to be desperate. Matter of fact, you thought, you know, you could possibly act as God and rescue them from their desperate situation. And you could justify in your own mind, somebody's got to get them out of that situation because it's hard, it's difficult. Only to come to the realization that that difficult, hard circumstances is home. Home, you know, is not a beautiful roof over your head. Because if you were in the briar bushes, but Dad and Mom were there, that's home. We're giving honor. You understand? We're giving honor as communicated by God to our father and mother. I know that there's always an exception to the case that we could point to and say, well, wow, you can't find any honor in that situation. Or you know. Well, that's not what we're here to point at today. Because too often times, you know, we're so much about measuring this one against, you know, don't you hate it when the kids come home and they say, yeah, but, you know, their dad bought them a new car. And I'm thinking, that ain't reality. That's the exception to the rule. Oh, God. Pray with me for a minute. I got to keep my mind clear here. Jesus, we are thankful to you. We are so thankful to you. You breathed into us the breath of life, but you brought us into this world through individuals, through their lives, and through circumstances. Through circumstances. Praise God. I'd like to read on in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, to the next verse about another father. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now think for a minute. You know the history. Isaac only learns through the stories being told to him how a long, long time ago, Dad proclaimed that the Lord was talking to him. Dad started talking about hearing voices or a voice, and that it was God that spoke to him and told him, you know, Isaac's looking around and saying, man, where's my cousins? And why aren't we around any of the rest of the family? And, you know, we're living with all these servants here with us. And, you know, like, where's everybody at? And where did we come from anyway? And, you know, there are those that are nurturing him and working with him and telling him the story. Your dad is talking to the Lord. And the Lord told him to leave where we used to live. And he obeyed him. He didn't even tell him where we would end up. And we're still on the journey now. But God gave a promise to a natural man. And because that natural man, your dad, heard from God and obeyed, you will now be a recipient because you are now an heir to the same promises that were given to your dad. This didn't originate with you. There are recipients in this room. There are heirs in this room. That because somebody that went before you made a commitment and heard the voice and obeyed, you've come into something that we now have a treasure in earthen vessels. You have come into a way. Sister Chamberlain talked about growing up in the truth and having some understanding in biblical principles because of a dad that made a choice. Of course, we sit here in this room with the ability to make that same choice that could set some destiny for those that will follow. Now, Maybe it's too easy for us to take for granted. I mean, you ever sit down and think about your past and about the steps that others took? You know, I go back to roots. And when I hear the story about when my mom went to some meeting out in Hara, Washington is an intersection. Barely. But there was a little church about a half a block off of that intersection. And she and her sister went to some meeting that they had there, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God planted something spiritual in her life that, in my opinion, is eternal. It's got to go somewhere. It's got to bring fruit somewhere. And even though, you know, her and my father parted their ways and chose different directions, and maybe her pursuit wasn't the best from that time forward, but I'm telling you, something was planted there, and it was planted deep into her life that somewhere along the line it was going to spring up. And destiny would continue in the lives of her children and her children's children. And if the Lord tarries, in her children's children's children. Children. It's important. Why do we have to wait till we're 55 to get any understanding of this? It's beyond me. I could have got this when I was 25. I should have. But we take for granted so many things. It's like we got to pass through so many years and get so far down the roadmap and look back and think, wow, he's been planning this a long time. And look what he's got down the road. I just wonder sometimes. My mother told me that, you know, your dad served the Lord for 2 years. And she would talk briefly about that. And so I don't know what that meant. I don't know what that meant. Because he sure didn't want anything to do with it when I came talking to him. But God enacted something when somebody said, Yes, I believe. And when belief is followed with action, something is set in motion that doesn't just affect me, but it affects my children and my children's children. For some here today, that's within your grasp. For others here today, you're the recipient, you're heirs. I find it so interesting. Let me read down through this. In Genesis chapter, wait. Same promises. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 28, at verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Now we know that Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. But the Lord, in speaking to Jacob, says, behold, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. Why was it that he would jump past Isaac and go all the way back to Abraham and call him your father? Because in the eyes of God, when that man made a decision to obey and respond to God's call upon his life, that's when the fathering began. The decisions that we make, the responses that we give are so, so vitally important. And the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad in the west and the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Does it make you think for a minute? You know, the Lord is revealing himself to an individual. The individual has grown hearing the stories, has grown witnessing the generation before and the generation before that. But now the Lord is revealing himself in a way that he's never revealed himself to him before. And his very first communication, he's going to talk about the promises. He's going to talk about the land. And he's going to talk about the multiplying of the seed. But I feel the impetus in his very first words are to go back and put an emphasis on the Father that set these things in motion, because he, as a natural man, responded to God. I know there are some here that you look back in your generations and there's none of that there. And so it begins. And so it begins. Your response to the Lord, no matter what the generations that went before you did, you have responded with a yes, Lord. And so you set some things in motion. Pray with me again, please. Lord, we're thankful for the ordering of our steps. We're thankful for those things that were planted before us in the lives of individuals. We're thankful that we are recipient and heirs to truths and giftings that have been passed on. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It makes one wonder how an individual can ever come up with the idea that they're all in it for themselves. Doesn't it? The Lord said to Jacob, and behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all thy places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done all that I have spoken to thee of. I want to talk about one more father. This father is a little bit different. In Matthew, the first chapter at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused or married to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know how this could have happened, but I've got to hide this. I've got to protect her from others. I got to sort through this. I really don't know how could this have happened, and what is this all about? But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this is done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And he would raise, along with Mary, this child, which was not his own. And as a natural father to this boy, whom he did not bear. Now, I started in the beginning by talking about the various fathers. I was deeply marked when I was at work one day with a close friend by the name of Roger Campbell. Roger had gotten married to a woman that was hanging around the softball field when we played softball together. She had a little boy by the name of Bradley, and Bradley would run the bases. He was only 5 years old, and he liked her, and she liked him, and they got married. I didn't know where that boy came from. And of course, later on, I would find out that the man who would become my pastor was this woman's father. But Roger would come to work, having been married now with this little boy, and they'd had a boy of their own, and his shoes, he wore tennis shoes to work in a dairy. They had holes in them. His toes were sticking out of the shoes. I mean, his pants, you know, they would get bleach on them, and so they would burn holes through them. And so I remember saying one day, Roger, why don't you get some new shoes? He said, oh, I can't, man. He said, my boys need shoes worse than I do. I can't tell you how that marked my spirit, my whole thought process. My first thought is, that's not even your boy. Because of my own circumstances. I had a stepfather that I never heard say anything like that. And so I remember how that marked me so deeply. And I watched him through the years. And I watched the interaction. Because I wondered, now as those boys get older now, is he going to begin to favor his natural sons more than her natural son? And never did. Honor. Honor. We have a lot of families in our world today. You know, when we were growing up, we called ourselves dysfunctional. Because when we got off the bus, or we watched kids get off the bus, they would go into a home and their mother and their father were in the same house. And I remember wondering in the fourth grade, looking, watching, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what that feels like to go into a home, mom and dad's there. Because for us, it was so young, we forgot. But when my mother and Phil met, I don't know how long they dated. They got married, and we moved from Yakima to New Jersey. En route, my mother got appendicitis. She had to go into a hospital and get her appendix taken out or something like that. We were there a week. So this man, who's 5 years younger than my mother, marries her with 5 kids. And all we can think about as kids is, I ain't never calling him dad.
He ain't my dad.
And I remember being in the hotel for a week. Now, you put yourself in his shoes. She's in the hospital. He's in a hotel about this big. With 5 kids. He's feeding us. I never forget, I got to tell you this. He got one night we were eating peas. Must have bought a can of peas, had them on a plate. My brother Marty hates peas. And so Marty's telling jokes around the table. And he's slipping the peas off down to the table and flicking them on the floor. And I don't know how long he was doing that, but somebody got up, and there were peas all over the floor. And here he was trying to figure out, how do I handle this? What do I do? And so those memories are imprinted upon my mind now as an adult. Well, we made it to New Jersey. When we got to New Jersey, he went to his mom and dad's house, expecting, you know, that's mom and dad. Well, they took one look at her kids and said, not here. I don't remember where we slept that night, having drove across the country. But, you know, home's where mom and dad's at. Well, we got over that, and they finally accepted us. And then it was Phil that taught me to roof inside. He had a roofing and siding company. And we moved a lot with the trades. And he taught me to roof. And when all the kids were out playing in the summer, I was on a roof pounding nails and putting siding. And he was teaching me a trade. And we spent time together. And he loved coffee and hard rolls. And we had some good times. We had some bad times. But we had a lot of time from second grade to high school. I got a call yesterday. He had a heart attack yesterday. Passed away. And as I sat reflecting this morning, talking to my youngest sister is his daughter. My mother's daughter, but also my stepfather's daughter. Our youngest, she was never a half-sister. She was never a stepsister. She was our little baby sister. And so we see the dynamics of families, which, you know, this isn't Ozzie and Harriet. And there is no magical formula, and we're in a world now. And it's quite a deal. And there are men, and there are women, who have come into relationships in marriage and made a commitment. And they are carrying on a responsibility the best they can. Now, I knew Father's Day was coming. And there's some thoughts that have passed over my mind in the last few days. I want to tell you my prevailing thought. We can all look at our own lives and say, yeah, I should have done that different. Oh, I wish I wasn't so. And we can pinpoint our weaknesses and we can look at our failures. And those are the first things sometimes that come to our minds, even though it's Father's Day and we're getting slapped on the back and saying, Happy Father's Day, man. Thanks, Dad, and all those things. For some reason, naturally, we begin to reflect sometimes on the places where we fall short or have fallen short. You know, wish we could do things different or better, provide for our families and our homes. We're just natural men. And we're just prone to failure. He created us that way because he wants to be a savior. And he helps us. He matures us. He heals us. But let's consider this one thing. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. See, we stumble through life. We're trying to make this work, and we're trying to get from the beginning to the end. And, you know, sometimes we dive into situations and try to help. And we're just doing our best. But there is one who is our Father. Nobody should lack, is what I'm saying. Whether it's, you know, my dad should have done this. My dad could have done that. Oh, if you'd only knew what my dad did. You know, they were there to help us, to bring us through in the course of life. And one man told me one time, he said, you're expecting too much. He can't do that. He can't be that for you. And that's when the revelation came shortly thereafter. The Lord said, I can be that for you. I am the one to be that for you. I am your father. I am your father. And so there is a dimension of father that nobody on this earth will ever fulfill. And it's the one that he wants to fulfill. That's why people can come through life saying, you know, there's something that's empty. There's something that's missing. And all they're needing really is a reunion. with their father. I'd like for our musicians to come. 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things are made, we by him. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I love this reference the most. John 14:5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. There's something that cries out from us to have perfect relationship, child and father. And it, when it comes to whether it's the parting of one through death, or there's like an unfinished reconciliation in so many people of trying to make it right, do right, find right, not even knowing what right is, but looking for some perfect relationship that is, it's just, it's it, between child and parent. Isn't it amazing how a child who's 50 years old can still watch and wait and wish for the acceptance of a father? Oh, he's accepting you. I'm telling you, he's accepting of you here. That's why he is the one that we're to look to. Only he can do this. This is why we can only become complete in him. Would you stand? Some people are forever looking. They'll never find it. They're forever yearning to complete somehow that whole 100% perfect joined relationship. To verbalize it in the natural, thinking that that's what's gonna end, that's gonna be the answer, that's it, when I have this. And they'll strive all their life long trying to achieve it, trying to find it, analyzing and wondering why not. It'll never happen till they come to the resolve, Philip said unto him, Lord, show me the Father. I hear the desperation in his voice. I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. There's something that's not complete. Show me the Father. and I'll be satisfied. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that sees me has seen the Father. Hear me. The Spirit of Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, is wanting to bring you that resolve today. If you'll find it in Him, it's the only place you're going to find it. It's going to be in Him. You'll spend the rest of your life tripping through, stumbling along, looking, searching, always coming up short. Why? Unfulfilled? What's the matter? What's wrong? You're only going to find it in Him. And you allow Him to sit in that seat in your life. Come receive your healing. Come receive your healing today. Come on, let Him touch that place in your spirit that it's forever settled. This altar's open. Please.